Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Who is a wise man and eluded with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
I'd like to ask you to engage in an act of the imagination to begin this sermon. If it helps, you might close your eyes. But I want you to envision a scene. The ground is sandy. In fact, if you turn around, you'll see a significant body of water behind you. It happens to be the Mediterranean Sea. But as you turn around, you start to see soldiers marching by. You see them garbed in leather and chainmail. And you start to realize, well, this looks like something from the Middle Ages. And you see that on their banners they have a cross. And you realize that they have their swords drawn, their spears out, and they are marching into battle. Nearby, though, is another man. You see his sandals. You see his simple brown robe. And he's preaching to them, reminding them that Christ is calling them to a life of peace and not war. The soldiers, though, just keep marching, and they go out, and they fight. The man in sandals is Saint Francis of Assisi. The year is 1219. We are at the Fifth Crusade. The Crusades live in infamy. We know little bits and pieces about them. They began in 1095. When the emperor of the Byzantine Empire sent a letter to Europe asking for help against the Muslim armies that had taken the city of Jerusalem several centuries before, but now were putting pressure on the Byzantines. And that simple letter led the Pope and the cardinals to make a plea throughout Europe for help, asking the knights and asking anybody who would respond to march down into the Holy Land to deliver the lands of Christ from the hands of the infidels. We could spend a long time talking about the Crusades and about how they got started and how far off base they are from the teachings of Jesus. But I want to call your attention to this Fifth Crusade because something happens that was radically different. We have seen those armies marching off to fight and Francis there preaching peace in the midst of that. But when those armies came back defeated, when that army came back defeated, hundreds, even into the thousands of the soldiers dying out there or getting captured in the middle of this battle, the survivors coming back defeated, downhearted, Francis did not take that moment to gloat. Instead, he used it as a moment to increase his resolve. He was going to say, I do not want to see this happen again. So what can I do to prevent this bloodshed? About this time, there were emissaries from the other side coming forward with a letter that went over into the tent of the commanders of this crusading army. They happened to be a king, John of Brienne, who was in charge of the knights and the Latin kingdom there. And then Cardinal Pelagius, who was a representative of the church that happened to be funding the crusade. And we saw there an argument developing between these two because the letter that came to them was a peace proposal from the Sultan on the other side, and this happened to be outside the city of Damietta in Egypt. And the Sultan sent them a peace proposal saying, well, we will give you Jerusalem. We know you want Jerusalem back if you will just go back home and we stop fighting. The leaders argued about this, though, and one voice, John, said, well, let's accept the peace proposal. The cardinal, though, said, no, this is a sign of weakness. Let's go ahead and push forward, and then we will have both Damietta and Jerusalem. And so that voice won out, and the war continued, but Francis said, that peace proposal shows me something about the Sultan. And Francis was there not to fight, not to encourage the fight, but to find a way for peace. So he, at that point, decided to take matters into his own hands. And he, in his simple brown robe and in his sandals, walks out across that very ground where the two armies had just fought. He sees the carnage and the blood around him, but he keeps walking all the way to the other side. And at that point, the other side could have responded in many different ways. Those who found him could have said, well, this is one of the crusaders, we will kill him or we'll imprison him. But instead, they took him to the Sultan. And that simple man, Francis, in his simple brown robe and sandals, stood before the Sultan and said, I am here as a representative of Christ. Obviously, we'd have to deal with translation, different languages, different cultures, different religions. But the very fact that Francis made himself available for this conversation was a radical change from what was going on. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of an account of the kind of conversation that took place between these two men over the next several days, but it was a significant conversation about peace, about their different religious traditions, and about a way to try to bring an end to the bloodshed. At the end of this, they sit down and they have a meal together. And that's the image that I want you to hold on to. This image of Francis walking across the enemy lines to meet with the Sultan, the Muslim leader, and to sit down and to have a meal with him. The man that all the others had demonized, the man that all the others had said, he is our enemy. Francis and Malik al-Kamil sitting down and having a meal together. And so today, as we think about the concept of peace, and as we read these passages, and we think about the message of Christmas, why did Christ come? And what is at the heart of His ministry? These are the images that we need to call to mind in the midst of our violent world. When we turn to the Bible, of course, there are many different passages that could speak to the demand for peace in our world today. Obviously, we could think about the Sermon on the Mount that we've looked at over the last couple months. You remember, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." That image that once again Jesus is calling us to live by a different standard. And we looked closely at the Beatitudes and all the blessings that God would give to living a different life. But then we turn to the two passages Stephanie read this morning, the first in Romans. The Apostle Paul is reminding us at this point that the Christian life is a life of sacrifice, that we are to be living sacrifices. That's what Paul says at the beginning of that chapter, Romans 12. But by the end of the chapter, you hear him say things about holding on to reconciliation, to look for ways to bring about resolution in our relationships, not to foster conflict, not to go to war with one another, not to fight evil with evil, to bring out more violence and more destruction, but instead to oppose evil with good. And he spends a good bit of time describing what that is about, looking at these images of reconciliation. And he says, if at all possible, we should live at peace with everyone around us. Of course, if we hear this, we latch on to the conditional. We latch on to that word, if. If it is possible, live at peace with everyone. But that is not Paul giving us a way out. That is Paul saying, you need to do everything that you can. Relationships have multiple sides to them, but everything from your side should be about building peace and reconciliation. Then, the book of James continues this theme. James saying that the wisdom that comes from God involves many different characteristics. But the second characteristic, and the one that he latches on to, is that it is about building peace with other people. And the words there specifically saying peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. And so if we want to live as a disciple of Christ, we are to pursue peace. If we build bridges rather than burning them, if we encourage rather than tearing others down, if we look for ways to find compromises rather than demanding our own agendas, then we will be involved in God's work to plant seeds that will build and grow into a community, the Holy Spirit moving among us. And so these are the images that we see in the Bible. But let's go back to St. Francis for a moment. Some of you hearing that story might think, well, Francis is just so different from us. We could never follow that example. Or he was so crazy. He was a madman. We think, well, if he marched out across a battlefield, it'd be so easy for someone to kill him. The bottom line there is, though, Francis knew that. If we go back into his life before he became a monk, before he adopted this life of simplicity and poverty, he was a knight. He had adopted chivalry. He had been involved in warfare in Italy. He had actually been taken as a prisoner of war. He knew the suffering that came with warfare, with fighting, with carnage. He, as a knight, had been prepared to overcome the fear of going out and facing the enemy on the battlefield. And so he knew all about those kinds of things. The nightmare that came with such conflict. But now that he was a disciple of Christ, following in the footsteps of Jesus, he believed that Jesus was calling us to face our fears on the battlefield, but not because we were there to kill our enemies, but we were there to share the images of peace that Christ gives us with our enemies. And it is in those moments that we have the capacity for transformation. We set the opportunities there for change, for new thought, for reconciliation. Of course, all of this hinged on the fact that Francis had seen a peace proposal sent from the other side. And those of us who are more skeptical about these things or look at history and human nature, we say everything hinges on the arbitrary situation that Francis just happened to find someone on the other side who was considering peace. We certainly would think it could have easily gone the other way. Francis could have become a martyr. And we look throughout Christian history, we have many stories of martyrs. And that is the danger that we face in a violent world. Francis knew that. He knew there was a possibility of martyrdom. And the question comes to us today, do we follow Christ? Do we trust Christ enough to risk the possibility of martyrdom, to build bridges of peace with our enemies? Christians, of course, over the centuries have divided over how we are to live in the world. There are plenty of Christians who support something called just war that says, well, in this world of violence, we have to resort to violence sometimes, but we will limit the kinds of violence we have in our goal to find peace. But then there are other Christians who are taking to heart what Paul is saying there in Romans 12, do not fight evil with evil, but fight evil with good. To look for new ways to do things. And of course, we can't settle this dispute between Christians over the centuries, and there may be even those in our congregation who would line up on either side. However, whichever side you find yourself on in that debate, you still have to acknowledge that Jesus said that our first efforts are about reconciliation. Our first efforts are about offering peace to our enemies. And is that is the reason that Christ has come into this world. And that is the message of Christmas as well. And of course we have those famous verses, the angels proclaiming to the shepherds and then to us who read this today, glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to all in whom He delights. Jesus has come into the world to bring peace, and we are called to share that peace with the world around us. We come now to our time of invitation. It is a time for you to make a commitment to continue to follow Christ on a daily basis, or if you've never done that, to make a commitment for the first time to become a follower of Jesus, to share the message of peace that God is offering the world through His Son. as we stand together and sing hymn number 277.